Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. We are thankful to have you listening this week of the Bible study program of the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. Spend a week looking at a character study, an Old Testament character, a prophet named Elijah. You know, I believe Jeff in his last week of study mentioned Elijah for a few minutes on his study at the beginning of Romans 11. We'd like to take an entire week and look at this man, the man Elijah. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to your presence. We thank you for our Savior. We worship him. We lift him up, the name that is above every name. We know that one day that every knee shall bow, those that are in heaven, those that are in earth, and those that are under the earth. So, Lord, we just pray for the listeners that they will know him as their Savior at that point. We pray, Father, knowing that everyone will confess him as the Lord to the glory of God, those that know him and those that do not. So we pray, Lord, that ones listening will know him before it is too late to spend eternity with him. We pray that this study might glorify Christ, might teach us things in our practical life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Elijah the prophet. If you have a Bible before you, turn the scripture to 1 Kings chapter 17. And today we'd like to give a little background about this man and this area of the Word of God. As you know, we generally spend our Bible study time in New Testament epistles. Of course, we reference from the New to the Old Testament back and forth, comparing scripture with scripture. But our thrust is in the epistles, the letters to the local churches and the individuals in the New Testament. This little break will give us an opportunity to get more familiar with the Old Testament, the economy of the Old Testament. And when we look at this man, Elijah, we know him as a prophet. We know that this man, Elijah, the man that's called the Tishbite, denoting where he's from, this man, Elijah, called a man of God, the man of God there in these chapters, primarily chapters 17, 18, 19. Also, we'll see some more of him in chapter 21, and then in the early parts of 2 Kings before Elisha would become the prophet. We see him as a man of prayer and faith. We see him a man of miracles. We see him a man that passes the mantle, as we have mentioned, to Elijah. We see him, Elijah, the prophet. We can see him also as Elijah. Elijah, the man of like passion. Even though he's a man of God, denoted as a man of God, we can liken him to our own self. Like in the New Testament, he was called a man of like passion. So we see here, in the setting, Israel, God's chosen nation, the nation God has dealt with and through in the Old Testament primarily, we see that the nations round about, called the Gentiles, we see that through Israel, that God used judges. If you go back to the book of Judges, they were deliverers, raised up when Israel needed a deliverer. They'd be raised up to deliver them from their enemy nations around them. We see that when King came onto the forefront, that David was the one that God had ordained to be the king. And we see that he would become a king, become the great king of Israel. But before that, the people of Israel chose their own king, and God told Samuel, let them have a king. And Saul was the king before David. Then we see after David, his son Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Of course, we know that Christ came through the line of David. When God was manifest in the flesh, he came in the line of David. So we also see from David and Solomon, then in 1 Kings, we see where this kingdom was split. It was split into what we call Israel and Judah. We see in these two kingdoms of the split nation that Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they were the first kings, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Back in 1 Kings, let's just back up to chapter 12 and see the beginning of this. Chapter 12 of 1 Kings, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of the king of Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. So we see the stage being set that Rehoboam would become one king, Jeroboam the other king. And as we go through here, we would find that Jeroboam would become the king of Israel. Jeroboam being down in Egypt is a great picture of how in the scripture when you go down to Egypt, it's like going down into the world. And we see that in the line of Jeroboam, there were many evil kings. Rehoboam, on the other hand, would become the king of Judah in this split kingdom. And we see in the line thereof, there would be some good kings, such as Asa, and how he had become king and be a king for, I believe, 42 years, a good king. And while Asa was this good king, we could say, we see that, well, that it was 41 years that he was to reign in Jerusalem, that there was bad king after bad king. I believe 7 bad kings reigned in Israel while Asa was a good king in Judah. So as we look at this, we come to chapter 17, and we see that there were prophets raised up during different kings' reigns. And here, while Asa was a king in Judah, the good king, we see Israel's king was Ahab. And Ahab, it says in 16:30, Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Down to verse 33, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So we see that the scene is set. Elijah had not been mentioned yet. We see that Ahab was the evil king, and the prophet to be raised up during his reign is Elijah. We see here the Old Testament use of the word prophet would be someone that would make predictions, would give forth things that God had told him to tell individuals or a nation. We see when the New Testament speaks of a prophet, it's more foretelling instead of foretelling. It's foretelling. When we preach the word, this is foretelling today because we have the completed word of God. Of course, in the Old Testament, the word had not been complete. They were living out the Old Testament. We see prophets telling the things that God said would come. And this man Elijah, what a thrilling character. As we've given just a bit of an overview today, we could go on and just get our feet wet. Look at chapter 17, and we see here, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, what a way to come onto the scene. What a way to jump onto the pages of scripture. Elijah stands before a wicked king. A king that could easily have chopped his head off. A king that was evil. But notice what Elijah says. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He didn't say, I'm standing before you, Ahab. He said, I'm standing before the Lord God. That's the view that this man had. This is the attitude this man had, that he was accountable to the one he was standing for, not Ahab, but God. He had boldness to go into the presence of this evil king and tell him it would not rain because he was standing before God. My friend, do you and I have that attitude that when we are looking just in our day-to-day lives, that we stand on the things of the Lord, that we serve him because we're not worried about the people we're standing before as far as their authority or power? Oh, sure, the Word of God does tell us to obey those in authority. We're not to be disrespectful. We're to obey the government. But when it comes, setting that aside, when it comes to our day-to-day lives, when we have someone before us that's challenging us on our faith, do we have boldness to stand on the Word of God? Because the Lord God is before whom we stand. He sees us in every action of the day. And Elijah knew this. Elijah knew that he was living for God, before whom I stand. It didn't matter that he was before that man Ahab. And we'll see later on, he'll say this very same thing. He'll bring it up the next time he goes before Elijah. Boldness, because he knew in whom he believed. So as we see here, James chapter 5, if it wasn't for the inspiration of the Word of God, in the New Testament, hundreds of years later, in James chapter 5, it tells us just what Elijah had been up to before he was presented here on the pages of Scripture. Turn over there to James 5, if you would. And we see over there, at the end of the chapter, look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 17. Elias, which is the New Testament rendering of Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Here we see Elijah. The New Testament tells us that he had been praying. And in chapter 17, verse 1, we can fit that passage in James right in and see when he went before Ahab, he had watered it with prayer. He knew what the Lord had for him. The Lord told him what to say, and he had been praying. We'll continue this thought tomorrow, Lord willing. Elijah, the man of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless the word today as we depart. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.